You know, that's a really good song. I love that, and I love those moments of worship that because the word worship literally means to bow down, and it comes from being able to see God. And a lot of times we don't live lives of worship because we don't have time to stop and see God, and we forget who He is. And even though in the back of our minds we know the truth, we find ourselves living as if God didn't really exist. And as we come to worship, there's that point in worship where, you know, you just come sometimes and you just feel like, God, forgive me. I'm just not worthy to worship You. And yet what an unbeliever can't understand is that is still a good experience. Because you are bowed before God and you are acknowledging who you are and who He is, and He has open arms, and you feel that in the presence. We are accepted by God, not because of who we are, but because of who He is. And we can see that only through Christ, to realize that God knows that we don't live like Jesus. We're not as good as He is. And yet, He loves us, and He wants a relationship with us where He can make us good. He can make us godly. And that's just a wonderful thing. I don't have to be separated from God. And that's a part occasionally of worship that we just are touched by that. We're singing of the goodness of God sometimes. And I know that's not every time I've sung that song and it doesn't hit me that way. But that's a part of our relationship with God, is the fact is that God accepts us who we are. He loves us as we are. But He doesn't leave us where we are. That's the difference. And you know, I was talking here, and it struck me, you know, after I said it, because when I said it, I saw a strange look on somebody's face, and I realized, oh, it was not Winter Retreat where Sean gave his heart to Christ. That was a men's retreat. Now, I know winter retreats are powerful, but they're not that powerful. So that you give your heart to Christ even though you didn't go. So it's not that. But you know, we're gonna just take a few minutes right now, and just like we always do at the first of the year, and we've kind of waited for that this year. We're gonna just celebrate what God has done, and like Sean, I talked a little bit about Sean, but the thing is when I look at what makes us a church is if we had 3 weeks to sit in here, I could go down the rows. And that's the one thing that binds us together, is each one of us has got a story about what God did to miraculously change our lives. And that's the commonality that the Spirit bonds us together with. And this video, Monica spent a lot of time putting it together. It is excellent. It cannot capture everything that God did, but it's pretty good. And so we're going to take just a few minutes, and we're going to watch, just give a little video review of 2020 at Eastwood. Well, thank you, Monica. That was really good, and I know it took a lot of work. And that, you know, what I love about those videos that we do each year is that the church is not a gathering of people. The church is a gathering of God's family. And that video looks like a family. You know, that kind of looks like, man, if somebody in our family, we had a family reunion, they put the year in review, that's what it would look like. It's our family, God's family. And one of the things that we wanted to make sure we preserved, if nothing else through this year, there's been a lot of changes, but we did not want to let the world break up God's family. And so we're going to look ahead right here. This is from Psalms 111:2. It says, "Great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by those who delight in them." And what we do each year at this time, and I guess usually we do it a week before, but we wanted to wait till we came in here the first time, is we kind of let the staff come up, and we have a kind of like a little time for them to kind of share what they've seen God do and what they see God doing. In other words, you know, we don't have a lot of changes here because God's not, He doesn't change. The work He's doing in us doesn't change, but we grow along with that. And so I'm going to ask the staff to come up here right now, and we're going to let each one of them take a few minutes and tell you what they have seen God doing in the sphere that they work, and also what they see him continuing to do as we go. Now, you'll notice that Sean is not here. Sean is not feeling well. He will, I guess I'll have to give him time to speak next week. and we'll just have to see how he does with his time when he's on. No, I'm kidding. But we're going to just take this, and I'm really looking at this kind of as looking back and looking forward. And since we just finished worshiping, I'm going to let Cindy and Alan kind of step to the front. I'm going to move to the side, and Alan, I'll let you start. But why don't you just share with us the things you've seen God, something that you've seen God doing, and what you see Him doing.
Then we got a tent. May the 24th. We've been 9 weeks where we hadn't met. And a lot of discussion got us to that point. We really felt like we wanted to meet. We wanted to meet safely and that being outside. So a lot of discussion went into that just to get the tent. Interestingly enough, before the talent show, we became aware that we needed a sound system, which would come in quite handy May the 24th when we had to put a band out. It was an amazing day. We drug everything out there with no idea how many people would show up. We had this tent, we had this platform, but we had no idea what to expect. We just felt like God was leading us there. It was amazing. From here, looking out, instantaneous. Spirit of God, Breathe on Your Church was the first song we did. And immediately, worship just exploded. And it started even before that. Even as we were gathering, there was this sense of being together was so, we missed it. We just needed to be together. But then to see it come together and culminate and be an explosion of worship, heartfelt, deep worship towards God, that it was even surprising it was so powerful. And it's hard to judge how you're doing with worship, because worship is a very private thing. Because someone doesn't sing or because they don't raise their hand doesn't mean that there is not a heart engaged in worship. But there was strong evidence on the 24th for me that God had brought us to the place where we saw worship was a lot more than just singing songs. The worship was far beyond us just getting together and singing to God. We were engaged. Our hearts were moved. And for me, yeah, that just shows, first of all, how far God has brought us, but also how we want to continue to humble ourselves and go before God. We want Him to be pleased in our offering and here, week in and week out. And
that's good.
In 2016, Sean preached a message, and the point of that message is God is love. And that really stuck in my brain. I think it stuck in some other people's brains. I remember Chris kept saying over and over. He'd have a bad day. He said, God is love. God is love. So 2020 hit, and I saw a lot of hearts broken, a lot of kingdoms falling in music ministry. And it's been a blessing. God has shown me my selfishness and my own pride. And when we went into the tent, no, before we went into the tent, when we were making videos and sending them out, I saw people saying, what can I do to help? Right? Just then and there. And I had a question. This has been on my mirror most of this year. And it says, what is love requiring me to do right now? And it took me back to 2016 when Sean said, God is love. God is love. God is love. So what is love requiring me to do right now? make a video and send it out. Then go into the tent. Then the tent was hot. Well, let's get fans. Then the tent was cold. Well, let's get a blanket. You know, it was just one step after another. I saw people pivot and move. I saw people do whatever they could to facilitate worship and meeting together. Want me to wear a mask? I'll wear a mask. Want me to come in? Want me to meet out in a small group? I'll do that. And not just in music ministry. I saw it across our body. And it has been a blessing and a privilege to serve with you and to serve with you. And to see you use your gifts and to lay down all the many things that you do to lift up the name of Jesus. What a gift this virus has been to break through some kingdoms that we all needed to lay down.
Well, thank you, Cindy. That's good. And, you know, Alan did mention about the sound system, and you know, a lot of times we do spend some time talking about some of the physical things and reminding, you know, this church building didn't burn down. It's here because of a miraculous thing God did. Some of you who are here know that story. We usually go over that story every year, but I really told him this year we're not going to do that. We want to focus on the things they're talking about, the things that changed inside of us and the places we saw ourselves grow to become more Christ-like and more giving. And that's the most important thing. But God is, like Alan pointed out, we could stay up here and we could do this whole thing on things like, you know, God moving for us to get this sound system and we're wrestling with it. We just feel like he wants us to get it, so we get it. And then 3 weeks later, oh man, we're glad we had it, because we would have been in big, as a matter of fact, we would not be in here without that sound system, because we still may be 3 weeks or a month before we can get Rock City out here to connect our wiring to the stuff for the sound. So we're using that sound system right now, and it's God in front of us. He's always in front of his children. If we focus on being who he wants us to be, he takes care of the rest. Well, I'm going to ask Laura to step up now, and Laura's our children's director, and you've had a lot of things happen this year, but what have you seen God doing, and what do you see him doing?
Yeah, it's been amazing. You know, and I've shared this verse before in Psalm 78, that it is our responsibility as parents and for those who have influence over children to teach the goodness of God to the next generation. We have to impart the truth of who God is to them. And I thought about the people in this church who have had an impact and an influence in our children's lives. Not our just our parents, but two people who have now gone to be with the Lord this year. Ann Runyon, that sweet, consistent, Christ-like presence in the lives of our preschoolers for so many years. And the impact that that sweet presence and Christ-like behavior had on our children. And then Greg Snyder, who poured his life into our elementary kids in Sunday school for so many years. He loved them. He had fun with them. And he had a vision of, he said, Laura, what if we have some of our children to help teach the lesson? Let them teach. That was his vision. I said, I love that. And so he began to allow our children to be a part of the Sunday school lesson. And they thought, oh, man. You know, I'm a part. I'm a part of the fellowship of this church. I'm a part of imparting God's truth to others. And so you do that for a while, and then that begins to have an influence. And then those children move up into the youth ministry, and then they begin to serve. And then we have small group leaders in our youth who pour into these kids. And then the tangible way that I saw God work this summer was in Camp Eastwood. We were supposed to have had Woodlands Freestyle come, which was our day camp. We had it the year before. Incredible, amazing. Everything that Woodlands does is top-notch. But because of COVID, they said, we can't come this year for our day camp. I thought, what are we going to do? These children need to be outside. They need to be away from electronics. They need to be with other boys and girls. They need to be playing. They need to be in God's Word and having fun. And so I thought, Lord, we can do this. We can have our own camp. And so that's where Camp Eastwood was birthed. I thought, you know what? We have young people who can disciple and lead other people. And so we did that. And we had amazing small group leaders who discipled. I look at Emmeline, I think of, and Asa, all these boys and girls, Asiya, who poured into these children. And it's the fruit of what we've seen in our church, that they don't come and they sit and be fed. They come and they're a part, and then they catch a vision. And so we're going to do it again this year. I thought, it was so exciting. Yes, we're going to have Camp Eastwood. I don't know what it's going to look like, you know, but God gave us a vision. And then we had Arthur. We have those people who were so gifted. We had our youth worship leaders who led us in worship. And it was powerful. It really was. And so I'm so thankful for this church. I'm thankful for the pouring into our children and then our youth that is bearing fruit.
That's so excellent. And it's, and you know, she mentioned a few names, and I saw her after she mentioned one or two start to go like this, because it's not one or two, although each one of those was very important. It's everyone pouring in. It's the kids coming in here and an adult or someone who's older saying, you know, hey, what's your name, and come by and just say, hey, how you doing, you know, or whatever, and they realize that they're known, you know, they're known, they're a part. And the people that serve, it's wonderful. It's wonderful to realize, you know, it's good to bring professionals in, but really we do a better job because we're still here. And that's been really amazing and great. Jonathan's our youth pastor, and actually we don't call him youth pastor. And I'll just use this little thing in there to kind of hit, because a lot of times we have people who join in and don't know how we operate. We don't hire youth pastor. We don't hire children's person or whatever. Jonathan's hired in as a pastor. Sean is a pastor. I am a pastor. And his job description is serve wherever God leads. We want you to emphasize with the youth, but how many of you would say, I've experienced Jonathan ministering to me and I'm not a youth? Raise your hand if Jonathan has helped him. Okay, that's how everyone's supposed to be. So, but I want you to give us kind of your vision as you've seen God work with the youth here.
Well, I was super excited about 2020. It seemed like God had big plans, and he did. He gave us a clear vision for 2020. We had a mission trip planned to go to Costa Rica, and we had like 25 people signed up to go to that. We started out the year with one of the highlights of my year is winter retreat, and we had a group of like 80, almost 80 go, and I was like, yes, this is awesome. And then COVID happened, and we jumped on Zoom, and that was not awesome. And kids quickly let me know that. Not a great combination to do Zoom school all day and then go to Zoom church. Hey, you want to come to Zoom church? And everyone's like, no, I don't. But God still had these plans. And like when I saw these, and I knew God was wanting to grow us. And so I started looking at, how can we do that? Like, what can I put in place? So I had this idea of, we'll get we'll grow, we'll need more leaders, because we're going to have more kids, we need more leaders. We're going to get our kids that are here and that are serving, we're going to step them up and make a leadership team out of them. And all those plans kind of got foiled by just what was going on. To me, they did. But then it was so cool to see they weren't foiled for God. He worked that out in such a way where I had people coming to me that were saying, hey, I've been praying about this, and God has really laid on my heart that I need to be serving in the youth. And we added to our numbers that way, leaders. We had students that were the ones that would have their camera off on mute on our Zoom calls, like, thanks for showing up, but not showing up. Going from that state to just engaging in such a way that they were reaching out, they were sending letters of encouragement, they were making it a point to engage people, to make sure they knew they were loved on their birthday or whatever it was, they were being the hands and feet of Christ and of the body of church, and were being intentional in such a way. God did that. And it was so cool to see. From our plans for our mission trip, we had some we had a requirement where you had to be mentored one-on-one. And the way God used that and did things through that was so awesome. So God was so faithful through 2020, and I'm just excited about what he has coming.
Yeah, well, it is exciting. And just to kind of reiterate what Jonathan is saying there, is how many of you have had some things that you felt were disappointed in what happened this year? Plans you had, hopes you had, dreams you had, they're just not going to materialize. And, you know, that is life. We may have seen it a little more dramatically this year. Jonathan had to experience it dramatically. But the reason when we brought him on as a pastor here is because we had seen God develop in the place where, yeah, he's a human being. He may not react well to hearing bad news. But he realizes that whatever God allows is what God allows. And we have to focus on, what does God want me to do here where I am? It's not good enough to complain and criticize and grumble because it's not what it should be. It's not as good as it should be. We can have that human moment, but the fact is all of us can choose to live our lives the way God allows it, or we can resist it, you know? And when we submit to God and we say, okay, this is what it is, what are we going to do? God, what do you want us to do? Where's the door you're going to open? How do we do our job in this? And God shows you. And God shows all of us. And I just think that spoke to me when you were speaking, so I just wanted to point that out, because that's a great lesson for all of us. And sometimes it's not easy to forget what's happening and to focus on what God's calling us to. But we have to do that. Lastly, we've got Aaron, and Aaron has so many different ways in which she operates. And you know, the first day I came in, some of you've heard that story before. Aaron came in, and back at that time, it was me, Aaron, and Laura. And Laura wasn't there the first time when I came in. And Aaron goes, "Okay, what's my job description? What do you want?" And I told her, "Well, you know, you sitting at this front desk, you are the face of Eastwood. You are the face of God. Your job is to minister however God leads you, and he will give you the ability to get all the rest of it done," which he does. But she's got a lot of different areas in which she could share. I think one of them that she sees that we don't usually see is finance. So I don't know if she's going to just hone that on that or not, because she hasn't told me exactly where she's going to go, so we'll see. Go ahead, Erin.
Well, I do have a show and tell. So I'm going to show this to you, and if you think you know what it is, I don't want you to say anything, but I want you to raise your hand, okay? Okay, you ready? I won't hit it, I promise.
They might need to see it.
Oh, okay. All right. You see that? If you think you know what it is, raise your hand. Okay. What if I do this? You think you know what this is? Raise your hand. Okay, someone yell. What is it?
Plumb bob.
It's a plumb bob. Now, there's a little quirky thing about me is I love plumb bobs, and I collect them. And this one's an antique one. So for those who don't know what a plumb bob is, it's a means of a vertical reference. So horizontal is level, vertical is plumb. They've been around for ancient times. And one of the reasons I'm so fascinated with it is because it really is an analogy of our spiritual walk. You know, that builder or that woodworker, he doesn't have in his capacity, in his humanity, to pick out plumb. He can't look around and find it. He has to have something to go by. So I was thinking about what to share today, and Bill's right, we have lots of different responsibilities, and one of the opportunities that I have is the front row seats into our finances, and the same thing that applies to my personal walk applies to my walk here at the church. You know, the world tells us that money is future security. It tells us that money is control. It's power. It's security. God's word says, you know, I own cattle on a thousand hills. The world's mine and everything in it. We're talking about a God who speaks and matter appears. He breathes and life awakens. So here in 2020, I'm not sure a church of our size would go, I think I'm going to do a major renovation. Right? But God has brought us along the way. In my personal life, it started when Tim and I were first married. We joined a small group and took a crown class. And in that class, God convicted us of our debt and our lifestyle. So we started working on that. A couple years later, I had a decision to make. And that decision was to take a two-thirds pay cut to become a church bookkeeper. But God had already opened those doors. One of the things that we also learned was when money gets tight, give more. Now, that's not really what the world says, because our human inclination is when things are scarce, you got to cling to them. But Tim and I, we started to see that to fight against that natural tendency to close our hands, we would give more. You know, and not thinking that God's work cannot be accomplished without us, but God allows us to be the vehicle in which that work is done. I think about God's people. We have executives, we have factory workers, we have those on disability. God has his people everywhere because he has work for them to do, and he will provide for them in that work. So the decisions that we make and the resources that we are given are to point to that purpose. When we faced middle school with Madeline, we came with a choice. And we applied at several different schools. And at that point, God had prepared our hearts to say, God, wherever you want her, put her. She is a believer. Your spirit is in her. You have work for her to do, just like you have work for the rest of us to do. And we believe that your purpose will be accomplished. So then the doors opened at GPS. And we said, you do know that's $26,000 a year for 7 years, right? Tim and I are solidly not that. But God opened the door. That's what he wanted. But he put us in a position where every year we say, is this where she wants? Where you want her? Because we don't believe her success is dependent on where she goes to school. Her success is her view of God's work in her. And that can be accomplished anywhere. But that's what God had for her. But it didn't come without sacrifice for us. But it still kept us aware. Same thing applies at this church. You know, the same principles that God has for our family, he has for our body here. You know, we make decisions here based on what God has called us to do, not on our bank account. When we hired Bill, I was waiting for checks to come in. I could either pay payroll that week or I could pay the electric bill. And sure, we'll hire a head pastor. And that's what God did, and that's what he provided for. When we wanted to hire Sean. We didn't have the funds to hire Sean, but that's what God wanted us to do, and he's provided. Jonathan? Nope. God still provided. He had been working in us, and we applied those same principles about a debtor being slave to a lender, And so we as leadership and especially our spiritual leaders said, you know what? We're going to do whatever God provides. And we were faced in a pandemic of shutting down. And we thought, let's buy a tent. And God had already pre-provided that money for us. So then we were like, okay, well, let's just push those pews to the side. But God had wanted more because he knows that there is more to come. And so as I look back at 2020, it just reminds me of God's faithfulness and how he uses his people in his work. When the tornadoes came in April, we were going down through the directory trying to find out who was affected and everyone was okay. I had money coming in before I knew how to get money out because of the hearts of our people. When we realized that our mission partners were in a really tough situation, we didn't look at our bank account. We sent money to our mission partners so they could feed their people. That doesn't mean that we don't take stewardship very seriously. If you've ever been in one of our meetings, we talk, you know, weeks and weeks and weeks about every purchase because those are important dollars and our heart is to do what God has us to do. But we are not confined to the worldly standards on how we should use our money, how we should... we just look to God, and so that's it.
Well, that's good. That's good. Aaron knows how to make me uncomfortable. That's an inside joke. If you haven't been here long, for many many years, well, I guess for every year I've actually been pastor here. I've had a variety of people who've told me, you know, you need to talk a little bit about money. And for the first probably 6 years, we didn't talk about it at all. And you know, they say, you know, Jesus talks about money almost a third of what he says, and you don't talk about it at all. But I think, you know, Jesus wasn't in a culture like we are, where churches are built and they become like businesses. They were not, you know, they were, when the early church started off, they were in homes. They didn't, it was different. And you didn't have people on television when Jesus was alive asking for money and things like that. And so we have operated to whereas we want to live out the principles that are in the scripture in our personal lives and with our church. And we're not trying to not talk about it, but it is such a sensitive, tough topic. It always makes me uncomfortable. And I didn't know she was going that far into it. But the reason I'm going to say this right here is because that is the experience. And I know from her the reason that she's able to operate that way and say, okay, I know that, you know, financially this doesn't look like this is what we should do or whatever. But I believe that this is really what God is calling us to do. He will provide the money. And that's what happened. And as she goes through, she looks back sometimes and she says, I don't know how these numbers are working out. Well, you say that about the church too, but they always work out. They work out because we're not about money and we don't, you know, this case, we never alerted people of the need for this. We had no building campaign. And those of you who've been here like me for 23 years, well, I guess I should take that back because we had one when I came. But since I've been pastor, we don't do it that way. Because if God wants us to do it, he provides for it. And he provides for it because he's in the hearts of individuals, not because we ask for it or because we push for it. Because we don't want people to think the gospel is about money. And as Aaron is saying that, she's not saying that to try to say, would you give? No, what she's doing is she's basically saying, God has freed me from being captive to what I have in my hands at the moment, and this church is free from it too. And she's seen that, and I've seen that, and we've seen it affects us. And truth is really transmitted heart to heart, and that's kind of why I wanted them to be up here. But also, it's like what Laura was talking about Camp Eastwood and Jonathan's kids. are the ones, and some adults in here, but without Jonathan's kids, we wouldn't have that. And we have it because they've been around and they have experienced serving God with people older than them. And they've been exposed to where they can see a heart that has been filled by the presence of God, and it's not worried about what it gets. It's worried about other people getting it. And so they want to share, and they want to do something, and they're just like us. What do? You know, we just open up a door and try to get some opportunities because little things can make a huge difference. And it's, you know, we did that Camp Eastwood, and we didn't train the kids. We are not paying the kids. And we didn't go hire the ones who are the most talented or stuff like that. But our camp was better because it had heart and it had connection. And they don't come in for a week and go, wow, and then they're gone and we never see them again. And that can be powerful too. But our kids are here and they come out of that. And like Jonathan says, they start buying gifts for each other. They start sending letters. They start sending texts. They start asking. They're serving God. And that's what creates the family. And that's what we're about. And we are grateful to be able to experience it. I'm going to read just this one verse as we close. It says, "Remember the days of long ago. I meditate on all your works and consider what your hands have done. I spread out my hands to you. My soul thirsts for you like a parched land." And we take a service every once in a while like this and just kind of share from the heart what's going on in individuals. But it's really what you guys do in your small groups, your one-on-one meeting. It's how the Spirit of God really acts throughout people's lives. It's being able to sit there and hear a story from Lisa about what happened to her and let God speak to me and say, "Man, I see that heart that you worked in. That's how I want to be." And to be able to thirst for God, to be able to be more real in my life like I see it in flashes in the lives of others. That's what church is. That's what the gathering of the called out ones is. And so as we come here, we're grateful that God provided this stuff. We're grateful God provided Sean and Jonathan and Laura and Aaron and Cindy and Alla. We're grateful for all that. I'm not going to say, well, you're grateful that I'm provided, but no, I'm kidding. But we're grateful for that. And so we want to just close right now, and we're going to pray. And I'm going to give you just a second just to pray in your own heart to God and just think about the things that God has done in your past and think about the things that God is doing right now and the things that you hope to see him do. And I'm going to just give you a minute or so just to pray and to thank God for where he's brought you in your life, for what he's doing, and for what you want to see him do. And then I'm going to close this. Father, we don't stop enough and really count our blessings. We don't stop enough and think back and remember all the wonderful things you've done in our lives and all the way that your hand has reached in and turned and guided and moved in our lives to bring us to the place that we're at. And in the midst of all of this brokenness in the world, we're grateful for the things you've done in our lives, the forgiveness and the mercy that you've not only given us, but that you've put in our hearts. We're thankful for your grace and your love, and we're thankful to be freed to love. We're thankful to know that Jesus Christ died on that cross, not just for the world, but for us as individuals, that you saw us and that he came to this earth to communicate to us that you would take all of our sins on your back and you would suffer those for us because your hope for us is a future in your kingdom. And we're grateful to be alive right now. And we're grateful for the opportunities that are open to us through all. Each one of these challenges holds an open door for the glory of God to be seen in our lives. And we pray as we move forward that our lives will honor you, that our lives will exalt you, and that we will be a light that shines the goodness of God to those around us. We're thankful for you. And just as we sang earlier, we give our lives to you. And we are grateful that you take it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.